From Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And thanks for joining us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond. Today, we have a few guests sitting in with us.
That's John. Right. Today, it's we're doing a bit of a group one, but our real focus is on the Comox Valley Farmers Market.
Right.
And so we have Vicky Brown.
Of course.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Vicky Brown, as we bring you in, you can tell us a little bit
about
yeah,
who I am,
why I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Vicky Brown, and I'm the Executive Director of the Comox Valley Farmers Market Association, and we run farmers markets in the Comox Valley.
Great. Okay. And also with us?
Leslie Stav.
Yep. That's Chef Leslie Stav.
Sorry,
I know,
we got onto this story for sure.
We were discussing this earlier. When are you a chef and when aren't you?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm the president of the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association, and we work with the Comox Valley Farmers Market a great deal. So
great.
It was a good opportunity to come in and talk about what we do together and what we do apart.
Great. And we'll get into that in 2 minutes. And
Sue Smith.
Yeah. Sue.
And I'm an associate member of the Chefs Association, and I work with Leslie and Vicky, just putting together some product knowledge for the farmers market.
Great. Yeah. Okay, this seems like a great assembly of people to talk about this topic.
Yes, exactly. So we should actually step back, because I was just going through the list today, but we had Vicky, you in here on episode 28.
Yeah.
So this was a long time back when we were working at the radio station and doing it there. And so I thought we'd just do a little touch up and sort of see where's the farmers market has gone since then. Like, what's going on at the farmers market now?
So we're back then we were a year round Saturday market, and we also ran a seasonal Wednesday market.
Right.
And I'm not sure if at that time we were playing with alternate markets.
I think you guys had just started the Wednesday markets.
So the Wednesday market's been running now for a bit. We've moved it into downtown Courtney. So that one runs now on 5th Street, the top of 5th Street between Fitzgerald and England.
Right.
9 till 12:30 every Wednesday for the summer. And then last year we tried a third Thursday evening farmers market. So the reason we continually develop new markets is because we continually have people say, I can't make it on Saturday. How do I get my fresh stuff?
Right.
And so we keep trying alternate ways to reach more people, to get more local food into more local people's hands.
Right.
So we tried a Thursday evening market for a couple of years. One year we did it in Comox, and then the next year we did it in downtown Courtney. And that was fun. And then this year we're doing a Sunday market in the village of Cumberland because, well, it's time for Cumberland to have a farmer's market.
That's in lieu of the Thursday market then?
That's in lieu of the Thursday market, right.
Yeah, great.
So right now you've got markets on Wednesday in the morning, and then you've got the Saturday, of course.
Yep.
And then now Cumberland.
Sunday afternoon.
Cumberland. And today is your first one.
Today was the first Sunday market in Cumberland. And
so you must be a little tired.
I'm a little tired. And I'm glad it was successful and people came and lots of enthusiasm. Tons of people seem to be really wanting this in Cumberland. So,
oh, good. That's fantastic.
And the, you know, our veggies sold out pretty quickly. So they're all going to pick much more for next week. And we have lots of interest from vendors as well. So it's great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of excited because it sounds like I can have an opportunity to grab some stuff for myself now on a
Right,
on a
you're
Sunday.
One of those ones that weren't. That I'm. Not, why can't you have a market when I'm available?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's a great thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now here's the other thing is, and you're talking about opening these markets up to get people in to be able to eat these foods and get, have them available for them. Now, now you've brought the Chefs Association in to help, is that?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, we started doing food fests, and it was a way to get food, samples of food into people's mouths at the market. So new things. I think the first one we ever did was garlic scapes, maybe. And Arzina had brought someone in who did some kind of kale book, and we did kale, and garlic scapes happened to be available. And so we did garlic scapes and kale, and everyone loved it, and everyone sold a whole bunch of kale. And so we thought, hey, great idea. And at the time, our resident chef Laura Agnew from As You Like It was sort of doing those off the side of her table while she was trying to sell at the farmer's market. And so that was kind of spotty because that's right. difficult to do. And so Leslie and I talked, and we started to bring in the Chefs Association. And then last year we wrote a grant, a bi-local grant, that allowed us to kind of give the food fests a bit of a bump. So we worked with both Leslie and Sue to create a wrap, that a newspaper wrap, which is like the front cover of the newspaper. And they would produce product information and recipes, and we would do a farmer profile, and it was all about farmers market and local food and that partnership. And then on top of that, they actually come to the market with a gang,
a crew
of chefs, which is amazing. And they set up indoor, outdoor, whatever. We did one at the Thursday market last year.
Oh, we've done Thursday, we've done Wednesday, we've done lots of Saturday. Indoor and outdoor. We change it up a little bit, but we do it about 8 times a year. It's not quite monthly because some months just kind of go sideways. But generally speaking, we try and hit it about 8 times a year.
Yeah. So it's allowed us to take that initial, what have we got on the field, and let's try and do something with it off the side of Laura's table, to the Chefs Association actually facilitating a whole pile of work before the event, figuring out what's going to be available, developing recipes, developing information about the foods that are available at the farmers market, and then bringing chefs on site and feeding people. And it's not just like one item. They'll come with like 3 different ways to do. Well, halibut was the last one. We had 4 different.
Oh, more.
Yeah,
more,
just like.
Almost a dozen.
Because they're chefs, so they just.
We just do it.
You just throw food at them and they make this magic happen, and it's quite something to watch, and it's even better to eat.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of the times, one of the things that we look at, originally they tried to just do what was coming in and was at the market, and then we took a step back and said, no, we would like to actually take things that are maybe not selling so well, or they're having difficulty translating to the customer for whatever reason. We've actually turned down a couple of the things that we were thinking of doing as a main feature, mostly because I went to the vendor and I said, so how does this move? You know, and they went, oh, we sell out halfway through. And I'm going, well, then you don't really need us. I mean, and the thing is that then you're actually asking them to hold product back. And I mean, that's not the purpose here. The purpose here is to make it work. And it's not about us. It's about what is needed and wanted at the market. I may like working with one particular item, but if that's not the item that's in season and it is needing to move forward, then that's not what we're going to choose.
Right.
So. I guess it's nice for the chefs, too, because they get to experiment with something that maybe they're a little unfamiliar with, you know, like a different type of squash or a different type of green or whatever's there, and they can actually just play with it. So.
Yep. We do a lot, as Vicky said, a lot of prep going into it, because it's not just thinking prep as far as what are we going to be doing. This is where we work with Sue, because we need to be able to give things out. We need to be able to have some information ourselves to give out, because a lot of it is sharing that.
Yeah, right.
And Sue, you're known as, what was that we were referring to earlier? something about recipes.
Yes. I bug all the chefs in the Comox Valley for recipes. It used to be when we did the cooking classes at Beyond the Kitchen Door, and now it is for recipes to put in either the wrap, as Vicky mentioned, or for when the food fest is, for the handouts that we do to the customers to go home with ideas of what of recipes and cooking and just product knowledge for the items that are available at the market.
Because I guess that is a real thing for the customers there at the market, because you see all these beautiful things and you're like, oh, $5 for that, $3 for that. And like, well, but what do I do with it? You know?
Well, exactly. And so, you know, one of the first things that comes on thanks to Fiesta Greenhouses in the spring, is eggplant. So I'm not a huge fan of eggplant, but because I didn't really know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So when they come and do something with a vegetable that you haven't explored, or it's just a different application or a different way of cooking it or different spices or whatever, it opens up a whole new world of,
yeah,
you know, a new vegetable for
absolutely.
You.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there was a brief period of time there where John and I had a bit of a stake in the market. We had a presence there, and I remember I thought that what we were doing, we don't even need to go into it too much, but what we were doing I thought was a pretty much a staple and a basic, and people knew what they were wanting and knew what to do with it. But even then, just as a staple, it was amazing how many people said, so what should I do with this? Mm-hmm. And I had to sort of reel it back in, and instead of being amazed or aghast, I thought, you know what, I need to come armed with a lot of ideas for these people, because they aren't coming just to pick up some great ingredients, they're coming to pick up some ideas of what to do with those ingredients. They want to eat better, but they want you to help them, right? And
exactly.
So you just got to be ready for that.
Yeah, and I think there's I think along with this kind of local food movement, there's people who come to the farmer's market, and they have their budget for that day at the market, and they're going to go spend it, and they're going to buy what is there because they want to support the market. And so if it's a bunch of weird vegetables that they haven't used before, or only bok choy because they got there at whatever time and that's what was left, then now they need an idea for bok choy, right? So the more we can do that for them.
Yeah, and that's just as I was saying. Like, I went there thinking that we were going there to sell our wares, but really, and on the other side, I thought they were just coming to buy, but I didn't
realize. It's so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that sense of community that a lot of people are looking for, but there's also that they're coming for instruction. They're coming to say, like, here, I'm trying to make my life better, or I'm trying to help our local economy, or I'm trying to do these things, and I need you to help me.
And so that is one of the things that we've shown, and it's really wonderful when the vendors get it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been slow but steady.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I know sometimes I will come through and one of them will have a new item that they're kind of playing with and they're not sure about. And now they'll just give it to me and they'll say, you take it and then come back and tell me.
Yeah.
And absolutely, then we run with it. And that's what we do. And I think that being able to offer something like that without it being judged, you know, and without, you know, talking down to someone when they're asking simple questions.
Yeah, for sure.
Because everybody has to start somewhere.
Right.
And if you don't nurture this and help it grow, it won't.
Speaking to that, everybody has to start somewhere. I remember John pointed it out, actually, speaking of the wraparound that you handle, Sue, when Chef Aaron Rail, he pointed it out. He's like, look at Aaron's recipe in the wraparound. And I thought, and it was an egg. And it was just, the ingredient was an egg. And at first I thought it was kind of crass. And I thought, oh, that's so Aaron. That's like just sort of, but at the same time, looking at it, and John also said it too. He's like, that's actually brilliant. Like,
that was the first thing
there's
in my mouth.
There's a way to nail this. Like, you've maybe have never been shown professionally how to do it. Here, nails.
We had
there
more feedback, more discussions about that one. You can't
it
imagine.
It was so great.
Yeah. It got, well, it had everybody
had
talking, for sure.
On that one. We all did. I do cook my egg like that now. It was the first time I tried it because I didn't believe it was going to work. And I went, what kind of recipe is this to put in the wraparound?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, Leslie, I'll cook it and I'll get back to you. Oh, yeah. It's delicious. It looks like a charm.
It's perfect.
It was perfect.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I love the fact, you know, just those building blocks for people just learning all the basics and getting more and more comfortable in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. And, you know, absolutely talking to the right sort of panel of people here that are all of that same mindset, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, most of our really good basic recipes that we carry around in our heads have a really simplistic start, and you just build on it.
Right.
And that's really, those of us that have been in the industry for a while, we've nurtured those, and that's what makes us good at what we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's that one part of this, half part of that,
three
parts of that, four parts of that.
Yeah. And we still do the thing of, you know, someone comes up and says, oh, that's really great. You know, how do you do it? Well, I'm not quite sure. I just did it.
Yeah.
So we still do the a little bit of that.
Yeah. It's that final manipulation of the dish when you're just like, it's not hot enough.
You know? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 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 Or it just needs a little of this or that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what did I put in there?
Yeah. What was that last thing?
I think that's...
Sorry, you go ahead, Sue.
I think that's really essential, and that's so good for customers at the market to see that you don't have to just do this. There's the flexibility of it's your taste and you can make it to your taste. And I think that's something that the chefs really do so well, and they teach people so well. It's like, how much of this should I put in? Well, do you really like that flavor? If you like it, use more. If you don't, use less. So I think that's really critical.
Absolutely. And I think that part comes with confidence in the
confidence.
Kitchen.
Confidence. Yeah. Yes. But we're teaching confidence in the customer. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really. Right. As I know with the halibut, Sam was there, Wes's old partner, and we asked him to taste something. He says, well, you know, I don't know. And we said, well, do you like it or not? So that's where it's really nice.
Yeah.
You know, for them to see that we do that too.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Important.
Yeah,
I always think about back to Blaine when we started this whole thing, doing the podcast, and he was like, "I've never been to the market, and I'm scared." And I said, "What?" He's like, "I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to. Am I supposed to barter? Do I? What do I?" I'm like, "You walk up to a table and you go, I like that zucchini. Here's the money."
Yeah,
it's that simple. He's like, "Really?" And so yeah, so that's how he started off. And he went to a market and he was like nervous. I'm like, Blaine, come here.
You know, I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, come here and talk to this person. And, you know, and I understand it's a little nervous standing in front of these people. So, you know, but after about a month or two, like, he was at the market. He knew more people there than I did. And he was like totally into the scene. And I was like, it was a nice feeling, you know, like
I totally
broke into it. So,
and that for us, for farmers, not for me personally, but for farmers, for our vendors, that's what it's about for them. It's not when we surveyed them a few years ago, we like to survey them a lot. But a few years ago, we asked them, you know, what's the top reason? We asked them to rank the reasons why they came to the farmer's market. And we assumed that the top reason would be to sell my stuff. That's my most important thing. Right. But that's not the most important thing for them. The most important thing for them is building relationships, because when you build relationships, they go further than just the farmer's market. So whether they're meeting a chef or they're meeting an individual, there's that potential to build a relationship and have, and that keeps coming around in different ways. Yeah. So whether they're coming back to buy from you, or they might think of you for a catering job, or they might want to buy food from you over here, or they, you never know where that goes. And so the relationships between customers and vendors and the vendors themselves are a huge part of what happens there, and that sense of community that you mentioned.
I know I found that with myself. I actually very rarely buy much at the market. Like, I buy a couple little items, like some nice berries for at home and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But most of the time I have most people coming to the restaurant and selling me direct. So, but I built those, established that through the market. Like, I wouldn't have these connections with these people. And most of them are good enough now. They just show up with food and they're like,
they just know.
And they have an invoice.
Yeah.
They're like, we didn't hear from you, but this is what you want.
We're sure you need this.
Yeah, we're pretty sure you need this. All right. Yeah.
The other thing is that I know that a lot of the vendors felt that, you know, the whole thing of putting chefs on this little pedestal and stuff. And one of the first ones, Food Fest that I remember doing, Arzina came over and she stood in front. It was the tomatoes. Do you remember that? And it was great because we learned. Because she knows way more about individual types of tomatoes than I do, because I don't grow them. And so she had them out there. She'd gone around and she collected all this information and that. And it was really terrific, because then I could go away from that and actually have a piece as well.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, absolutely. We should all be learning.
I think that's the neat part of being a chef at those events, is you get that instant feedback. And that's what, working in a restaurant, you don't get that. I mean, you get a server comes in, they said, yeah, compliments to the chef, best food in the world. And they're, you know, kind of, you're like, thanks, I think.
And generally, you sort of have to wait to the end of the night before you can even talk about it. But even then, you're not getting.
Yeah, but then when you're doing, and Sue introduced to me doing the cooking classes, the people sit there right in front of you and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And they're like, why'd you put this with this? And you get that sort of instant feedback, and you're sort of, or what is that? And how are you doing that? You know, and, and you're like, oh, I'm just trying this out.
And the other piece they do is they know the vendors now. Most of the chefs that come, and particularly Leslie, knows all the vendors. So when they're making something, they go, she can say, well, the bison came from Island Bison and the chicken came from Victorian Acres or Celium or whoever it came from. And this this you can get over here and that you can get over here. And so it's that as well.
Yeah. Which is fantastic.
The extra piece of the connection is so important. The other thing that I've found is that it's gone beyond now, in that I actually have some of the vendors who contacted me when they've got a new piece of equipment or something like that. What am I doing with this? And, and even just ideas. Like I've been traveling and I've come back and I've said, you know what, I saw this and I think that you could take this local piece and this local piece and put them together.
Right.
And maybe you hadn't thought of that. And it's just like, wow, okay. Because I know their business well enough to be able to put that forward.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know it's interesting too how this has grown, because I remember when we first started doing chef days at the market, and I remember Leslie going out to try and get food from people, and they were a little
hesitant,
hesitant and like, you want me to give away my food?
For what? But I'm here to make money.
And Leslie's like, no, I'm going
to buy seeds or whatever, you know?
Yeah, they were really like hesitant, and some of them were good, and Leslie's like, no, we're going to make something good and give it away for you. And they're like, but I don't know about this idea.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we'd take that little item and we'd cook it all, and then
they
would sell out of everything. Right? Yeah. So then they're like, wait a second. So it's amazing how that's worked out for you guys. So
it has. And it's been one step at a time. And you know, like, as I said, still vendors are coming on board with it. And, you know, something as simple as, I remember that I pulled in after I actually addressed your AGM at the next Food Fest, and two vendors that hadn't really worked with us very much, they actually helped us offload.
Oh, wow.
And that, for me, was a personal best, because it's like, not only are you helping giving us stuff, but you actually realize the amount of work we're putting in here.
Right.
And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that over the last year in particular, it's really played out for the vendors, seeing the repercussions and what's happening. And so now it just is so much easier, I think, for the chefs and for the vendors as well.
So then I know I really don't go to many of the other markets. I do attend the Saturday markets where I can. And so I know that it's been at the Saturday markets. Is this go beyond the Saturday markets? Is this something that you'd find at the Wednesday?
At times, particularly in the summer, we're open to different schedules because chefs are really busy in the summer.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of food at the market.
Yeah.
And a lot of product that needs moving. So that's how we ended up doing this Wednesday last year and
we
a Thursday
Wednesday.
Last year.
Yeah. Wednesday actually came down to a logistical problem where they actually didn't have the space for us.
Right.
They had so many vendors that wanted to be there. So, I mean, it's their party, so.
Yeah.
Right. We did do the Thursday night one, and it definitely helped Thursday night, I think.
Yeah.
You know, as far as whether or not we would come into Sunday, we're open, but it comes down to sometimes space.
Right.
You know, I look at the space there. Is it, you know, is it needed? Is the first thing we ask.
Yeah.
And is there space for us?
Right.
You have to have that criteria taken care of first.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I did have one last sort of question. What is on the horizon for the farmers market? What's coming up in the future?
Oh, that's a good question. The three markets running right now through the summer. And then we'll move inside. We're in discussion with the city about potentially changing our indoor-outdoor location, which has been the Native Sons Hall for the past 10 years or so.
Right.
But we're growing out of the Native Sons Hall.
It's getting a bit tight in
there. It's getting a bit tight in there. And the outside is not super conducive to having vendors outside.
Right.
There's a little bit of space there to expand to the outdoors, but not so much. And then last year we got moved to the Philburg because somebody needed the Native Sons Hall, and we kind of loved it.
Yeah, I loved doing the market in
It was so great down there, and all our customers are like, oh my God, you need to be here every week. Yeah. And so we're working on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's I don't know if it's even just acoustics. I don't know if it's just the fact that it's like the not it's like the ceiling isn't as high, but there's a warmth in there that I'm not it's not lost necessarily in the native suns, but there's just that added warmth. There's a I don't know, a tighter feeling in there, and it just a warmer sound, a warmer everything.
I find so much nicer. Yeah,
I loved it in there.
Yeah. And then the outside down there is way better for vendors as well, because it's a continuous, you know, you can do two rows and right. they fit together well, and there's good flow and all of right. that stuff, where the Native Suns is more challenging that way.
Right.
So.
Well, I hope it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, so once again, I'd just like you to name off the markets again, so anyone who's listening knows okay. the dates and times to be there. So
Saturdays, 9 till 1. We've expanded our Saturday offerings till 1 o'clock. At the exhibition grounds, and then Wednesdays, oh, I should have done that the other way. Saturdays, 9 till 1, and then Sundays in Cumberland, which is 11 till 2, and we are allowing early bird sales at the Sunday market in Cumberland.
Where in Cumberland is that?
It's in the Village Square, which is right beside, between the bakery and the Wandering Moose, which is right. a pretty sweet place to be.
That's awesome.
Across the street spot. From the brewing company, so we're quite happy there. And then Wednesdays, downtown Courtney on 5th Street, right outside Union Street Grill and Mad Chef and
right.
all that other good stuff.
And that runs 9 to?
That one runs 9 till 12:30.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Excellent. And if anyone needs more information about the farmers market, they
info@cvfm.ca or our website, which is www.cvfm.ca.
Perfect. Great.
And right. we have a Facebook page.
And we have a Facebook page, so you can always check there. Or you could sign up for our newsletter, and all the work that Sue does with our recipes and info sheets also goes out in the newsletters, so you get that, and you get any kind of news that's coming up, new vendors and that sort of thing, new markets.
That's Excellent. Actually really nice, because a lot of times you may not know the actual names of the vendors and stuff.
Right.
So that covers a lot of
that. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
You're like, you know the one, she always wears the pink jacket?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So yeah. that's where it's very useful.
Yeah. The pepper lady? Yeah. No, the yes. cucumber guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Vicky. And yeah. Leslie, I'd love to get a little bit from you, just if someone wants to get involved with the Chefs Association, some chefs out there that want to...
Probably through our Facebook page is the best way.
The Facebook page. Yeah, so North Vancouver Island Chefs Association through the Facebook page.
Yeah, that's a real mouthful.
And then you have an email?
It's info@North Vancouver Island Chefs Association.
Okay, perfect. Sure that's what it is. So if anyone's interested in the Chefs Association, definitely check us out.
Our next food fest coming up.
Oh, right. Next food fest, for sure.
July 16th, it's actually set.
July 16th, so.
That's 2 weeks from now.
Saturday Great. Market.
Good. Saturday Market, yeah.
Wonderful. Right. Any particular thing on tap? Anything that you're already aware of?
We've organized some tuna, and we were just working on it. We're doing different salads and stuff, obviously, for Perfect. This time of year. So, but I have organized tuna.
Great.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yum, yum, yum.
Always.
And Sue?
Working with Leslie and Vicky on product that's going to be available, and trying to come up with little twists to... make what you can do. We're working with something to do with lavender, what you could maybe do with pea pods. I was mentioning to Leslie that instead of throwing them out, there's a great idea for making a pea pod broth, and how you can incorporate that into different vegetarian or vegan soups. And
right.
So just different twists to something that you look at it and you go, well, pea pod, we'll just throw it out. No, there's lots you can do with it. So just working on ideas. Yeah.
A few months ago, you can ask John, I tried the exact same thing. I was like, I don't want to get rid of pea pods, so let's find a use for them. So I tried to make a pea pod soup, and definitely relied on the vast volume of pea pods that we had, and then give it a little lemon, give it a little couple other little shots. It did not turn out, but I'm not discouraged. I'm going to keep working on that until I find a way.
Well, Sue's going to help you now.
There you go. Sue's got some
we'll
advice
for
you.
We'll make a broth anyway.
Right. Sounds great.
Yeah, we'll
All right. Well, we'd like to thank our listeners for listening to us, and feel free to send any comments to theediblevalley@gmail.com. And yes, Don't forget to thank and like and comment on any of the shows you've listened to of ours.
Absolutely. And of course, we'd always like to thank our sponsors, currently the Atlas Cafe and Ivan's Truffles. But there's room for more. So get in touch with us and we can talk more about it.
All right. Thanks for listening.
The Atlas Cafe, celebrating 20 years in the Comox Valley. Globally inspired, locally sourced.
Do you like chocolate? I like chocolate.
IvansTruffles.com.